Hey, miserable bitches. We are back with another episode of Misery Manor. My name is Senor Cody.
My name is Senora Emily.
And before we get started, make sure you leave your manners at the door, okay?
Bye.
What that song played at my funeral.
Oh, like as they're lowering you?
No, as I'm entering the building.
Oh.
Oh, wait, that's like a
wedding. Or as you're going into the
That's a wedding. That's a wedding.
Well, please don't play that at your wedding.
No, I'm saying when they bring the casket out.
Yeah, that's already done.
I know. But at my funeral?
Yeah.
No, the song that's going
to. Am I going to be a pallbearer?
Girl, you're going to be dead.
Why?
I'm living forever.
Oh.
You're going to die. Within like 20 years, I think.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. No, I already decided when I get lowered, because, mm-hmm. you know, I love The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, and I you're going to have them.
No, I want Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead to play as I go down.
Oh, that's fitting.
Yeah. And it would be so fun.
Yeah.
And I want everybody to give a speech. Because I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be like...
Oh my God, wait. I just saw your something on your... Look at the bruise I have.
Ew. Let's
show you.
What's okay, that anyway. From?
I ran into a tree.
And why is it perfectly circle?
I ran into a tree stump.
It looks like a golf ball.
I know. Okay, I just had to show you.
No, you're good. So, how have you been?
I've, you know.
Your hair looks good.
Please.
I know.
I literally just look homeless all the time and Cody just looks like a supermodel.
No, I don't. Although I do have a nice little tan today. I did a spa day yesterday with some of my prospects. And we were like having champagne by the pool. We had charcuterie boards. I got a massage, but when I went to the Houstonian to get one, it was so deep tissue that when I left, I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to be so sore. Like I was.
Yeah, I think that's normal.
So I was like, that's a little too much. So then I told the lady yesterday, don't go too hard. Well, this lady acted like she was petting a cat. I was like,
I can't do massages. I laugh the entire time because it tickles.
Well, I laughed because she sneezed and she goes, excuse me.
Did she give you a happy ending?
No, baby.
Did you give her one?
No, they were very, places like that are very like, yes, big on like don't get naked.
Well, yeah, I think Houstonians where Nick goes to the gym.
Yeah, but they're the same way there too. They're very like, no, you need to keep your shorts on. Now if you go to Chinatown, they're like, you know, what can I do for you?
Well, Nick had sent me this Instagram thing, and it's like, I think they're in Thailand, and the lady, it's like an older, probably like a little older than my
yes.
woman. Have you seen it? And they're all against the wall. She's like, they suck your dick.
Yeah, she's like, blowjob, suck your dick, anus, ass. And all the girls are like, yes.
I mean, good for them, you know.
If they're doing it willingly.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Emily's like, no, I support trafficking.
No, your face looks thinner. I have 3 double chins now.
Well, let me see. 1, 2, 3. 4.
Cool.
I'm kidding. No, it's because I stopped eating meat. I don't have anything wrong with people that eat meat. I just...
You always do it in the summer, I thought.
I do, because I want to be snatched for the gods, honey.
Yeah, well, I look like a frumpy old bitch.
Well, way to have...
I just
self-esteem.
I just cry, like, every time I see myself naked now. I'm like, well...
Emily was in a... cycle class the other day, and she texted me right before, and she was like, well, I'm the second fattest person in this room.
I went up to Ashley and I was like, oh, and I didn't touch her belly, but I was like, do you like mine? And she was like, shut up. And I'm like,
what if she was like, I was gonna say, you do look pregnant.
I look more would you have thrown up her, and she's actually pregnant.
Would you have thrown up?
Yeah, I thought someone was gonna congratulate me.
Girl, you don't look bad at all. It looks like you ate. Well, don't jiggle it like that. What about mine?
I have gained... Shut the fuck up. I have gained 15 to 20 pounds.
It's that stress.
I don't know. My mom said it's because I don't, like, have dye every day anymore.
Ooh, well, I just had some for you, so don't go in that bathroom.
Oh, yeah. I can hear the fan still on. Okay.
I thought you were going to say it. Never mind. All right, let's get started, honey. So today we have a episode by Emily.
I'm going to get much better at this. I've been really working hard on this.
Yes. Baby okay. steps. No, this one's going to be good. And is it the girl that you sent me the photo of? Okay, she's gorgeous, first of all.
Yeah, so it's totally fitting because I need to go get a bathing suit this weekend. So she's like inspired me to work out every day, which I have been doing.
Good. I love when the dead inspire us.
Yeah, well, actually, she was actually like a wonderful person. So anyway. Hermosa Beach. That's in 50 miles south of LA. My brother actually like has a little gig that he plays out there.
Oh.
It's really cool. They have like a lot of cool little art stores and little places to
eat. It's called Hermosa Beach.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of Montrose a little bit. Just like home eclectic. Feeling. Yeah. Different. But then like also a beautiful beach. Looking good isn't a game for amateurs. That was a quote from City Confidential and I LOL'd.
I like it.
It was a place to be if you were beautiful and athletic in the mid-90s. It was all beach volleyball and all beach bodies. Hermosa Beach was famous for its swimsuit models, and 27-year-old Linda Sobeck was one of the most sought-after models by photographers. She was absolutely stunning, and unlike some beautiful people, I know this is kind of, like, rude, Linda was genuine. She was kind and funny. But there are some people that are, like, so beautiful and, like, vain that they don't care about other people. And are
yeah, people. And that, it's...
She wasn't like that at all. Born Linda Elaine Sobeck on July 9th, 1968 in Los Angeles, California, to parents Bob and Elaine, which I love that her middle name is her mom's name. She also had a brother named Steve. Linda Sobeck was a rambunctious kid. She was beautiful. She was a natural in front of the camera, warm and personable. She was just down to earth.
So she was a model when she was a young kid, too.
Not as a young child.
Okay.
You'll see. You'll see. She was comfortable with herself and her body, but she didn't make others feel less than her. Her mother describes her as thoughtful and caring.
Why is it always the people that are thoughtful, caring, sweet, and beautiful that get the chop?
Sometimes I think people like serve this purpose. There was this girl I knew in high school, and I remember she died May 25th. It was actually like coming up this weekend.
Oh yeah.
Is today May 25th?
Today's the 24th. So okay. Tomorrow.
She was at a birthday party with a bunch of friends. I knew one of her friends pretty well. They all played soccer together. They were going to get ice cream after this girl's birthday party. Drove, hit something, and they went where I'm from, there's like a lot of trees. It's actually called the Livable Forest. And they hit a bunch of trees and she died. She was in the passenger seat, and I remember like she was just such a beautiful, kind person. And I kind of felt like maybe she was just like her purpose was.
I was about to say she had already served her purpose.
Yeah.
To like brighten people.
Yeah, it was rough. Like I couldn't imagine being really close to her. Like I remember I went to her funeral and everything. It was just so strange to see. Like that could have been anybody.
Right.
Like it was so close to home. It was just horrible. But anyway, yeah, actually her grandparents lived on my street. It was very strange. Anyway, Linda aspired to be a model and actually left school to do so. So it was when she was a little older, okay. Like in high school. After leaving school, Linda set her sights on a modeling career despite facing a notable hurdle. She was standing at just 5'3". So that's shorter than me.
Yeah.
She knew she needed something extra to stand out in an industry dominated by tall models, especially during that time. Seeking opportunities in 1989, she decided to audition for the cheerleading squad of the Los Angeles Raiders. Despite intense competition, Linda managed to impress and secure a spot on the team. For approximately 5 years, she dedicated herself to being an NFL cheerleader.
She kind of reminds me of Rebecca Schaefer.
Yeah.
Short, good personality. Yep, that okay. Wants to be a model.
Great input there. Okay, she even made Raiderettes of the Year, which like during her first year of being a cheerleader on the team. So I guess that was like best cheerleader dancer of the year. Yeah. So one of her teammates, and I can't remember the lady's name, but she nicknamed her Little Fawn, like Bambi. Or actually, I think her nickname was Bambi, sorry, because she was like a little fawn. She loved to dance, and she wasn't too coordinated, and that's what got her, like, the nickname. So it was more
like a baby deer, like...
Yeah, like, you remember that part in Bambi when he's, like, he's getting his feeding or whatever, but it was more endearing and sweet than it was, like, poking fun at her.
Of course.
Because she would kind of poke fun at herself for being, like, not coordinated, which is funny, because she's a cheerleader. Yeah.
She's, like, clumsy.
Yes. Following
or klitzy? What do they call it?
Clumsy. Ditzy is what you're saying.
And that makes klitzy. That's not...
No.
We don't want to say that.
No. But the clit is a thing.
Go ahead.
It serves one purpose. Linda could... Following her tenure as a... Did you say to pee?
I was kidding.
Okay. Following her tenure as a cheerleader, Linda transitioned into the world of modeling, primarily taking on catalog work, advertisements, and magazine features. She never gave up, according to her friends. She had ambition and wanted to be married. And she wanted to be more than a model. She wanted to be an actress. Mm. It was in 1995 that she landed a small role in the television series Married with Children, which...
Soap opera, right?
No. Married with Children was a comedy with Al Bundy.
Oh, and yes. Then I'm Christina thinking All My Children.
Yeah. Christina Applegate. Yeah. I'm sure that's very popular show. For. Yeah. So I'm not quite 100% sure if she actually got this role mm-hmm. or if she was like just going to the interview or the tryouts and then going back for a second one. I'm not sure because you see it written different ways, but it was a huge role. Anyway, so this sparked her interest in pursuing acting more seriously. Balancing her modeling and acting pursuits, Linda's schedule became incredibly demanding. Therefore, having a busy day like the one she experienced on November 16th was not uncommon for her. I actually knew a girl in high school and her birthday was November 16th. Anyway, Linda couldn't contain her excitement as she shared some thrilling news with her mother, Elaine, because they were very close.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe at that time, she may have been living with her parents. I'm not quite sure. It's not really that important, but they talked every day and her mom kind of knew, you know, like what she was doing.
Right.
Later that day, she had an audition for a television show, which we talked about, the golden opportunity that seemed almost inevitable for the 27-year-old. But given her stunning looks and high demand as a sought-after model, Linda's eagerness to work and her willingness to accept various shoots have propelled her career and expanded her portfolio, making her a favorite among employers. So she's really easy to work with. People enjoyed her personality, and that's how
she's like the total package.
Yeah, she got like returning like photographers would come to her and be like, hey, I've worked with her before. She's great, you know. Yeah, so she was like, kind of a name in the industry. Her reliability, professionalism, and strong work ethic had endeared her to everyone she had collaborated with. On that particular day, Linda had also agreed to a last-minute photo shoot before her audition. Unfortunately, she was running late and didn't have the chance to inform her mom about the details of the shoot or who had requested her presence. Nevertheless, Linda assured her mother that she would call her later to catch up on the events of the day. Little did Linda and Elaine know that would be the last time they would ever have a conversation. So the shoot on November 16th turned out to be a significant one. It was a prototype Lexus captured through the lens of the renowned photographer, Charlie Rathbun. So it's Rathbun, but some people say Rathburn, but I'm pretty sure it's Rathbun.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie was widely regarded as one of the best photographers in the country, and he specifically chose Linda to model for the project. During the shoot, Charlie took numerous captivating photographs of Linda, instantly elevating her status to one of the most famous models in Los Angeles at that time. And I actually think I have some of the photographs he had taken that day to post. In the week leading up to Thanksgiving, Linda had arranged to meet Charlie at a Denny's for a casual encounter at 11 a.m. However, as the time passed, Linda's pager beeper stopped receiving messages. And so that's kind of when her family began to worry, because all they knew was like, okay, she was going to meet this guy and have like a photo shoot. Hey mom, it's like for this Lexus thing, it's super cool, whatever, and then I'm gonna go to this thing later.
Like, but, Lexus the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever they tried to reach her, they received a message indicating that the pager was in remote location and unable to accept messages. I know we have younger listeners, but a pager was literally just like this little, like, it was kind of the size of what, like a little wallet, maybe.
I was gonna say like a garage door opener.
perfect. Yeah. It's actually more the size of like a little garage door opener. And it would just, someone would page you and their phone number would pop up. So you basically had to know people's phone numbers.
Right.
And it would be like, okay, this person's trying to reach me. Then you would go find a payphone.
Right. And call them. Yeah. Cause you couldn't talk through it. It was just like, I'm paging you. You know, I need you. Now contact me somehow, some way.
Right.
We didn't have one, but I remember there was a kid in my neighborhood that had one.
Same here.
And her grandma would page her when it was time for her to go home. And she'd be like, oh, I'm getting paged. Gotta go.
Yep. That's so wild. Okay. I hate being old. Okay. Anyway, Linda's absence became a cause for concern, especially when she failed to attend the 6:30 p.m. audition for the coveted role in Married with Children.
Which is not like her to miss it.
No, because she was like eagerly looking forward to this. And so, like, enough to where, like, people knew that she was supposed to be there and then knew that she didn't show up. Mm-hmm. So, Linda was always cautious when it came to meeting unfamiliar people. And she was actually very aware. Oh, shit. Sorry. I spaced. Acutely aware of the potential dangers that lurked in such encounters, especially, like, with them mainly being men and taking photographs of her.
Mm-hmm.
As a safety measure, she had a habit of sharing her whereabouts with a colleague or her mother, who happened to be her closest confidant and best friend. So kind of like when you're online dating, I mean, like, I have my friend Beth always shared my location, Lane, same, even though Lane is in Virginia. She just like always knew like, hey, I'm going on a date. Here we go.
You would tell me too, like, hey, I'm going to the movies this time. If you don't hear from me after, well, I ain't gonna do nothing. But
remember that first guy I did go to the movies with? And he lived in fucking League City.
Yes.
And then he asked me when my rent was up. I was like,
He wanted to move in.
Yeah, he was weird. But, you know, it was necessary. Okay. However, on this particular day, the rush of the moment caused Linda to overlook her. Oh, did I already do that?
Mm-mm.
So anyway, so when I had already mentioned that, though, that she had kind of like overlooked her usual like security protocols, right? So just this once. Besides, she had previously worked with this photographer on multiple occasions without any issues. Convinced that everything would proceed smoothly, she hopped into her car and hurriedly drove to their agreed meeting spot, which was a Denny's. And it was nearby her house. So little did she know that in the very instant she would vanish from existence.
At the Denny's.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So as the afternoon wore on and Linda failed to return home, her mother, Elaine, felt an unsettling, uneasy, like, feeling in the pit of her stomach. With each passing minute, her worry intensified. When the deadline for Linda's highly anticipated audition arrived and there was no word from her daughter, Elaine's fears began to consume her. Determined to find answers, Elaine opened up her daughter's address book and started making phone calls, hoping someone would have information about the mysterious modeling shoot Linda had ventured into. So to her dismay, nobody seemed to know anything about it.
And that's also, sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's also nerve-wracking for a mother to have a model child, cause especially like when you want to be so successful as a model, you're going to take gigs. You know, especially when you're starting off and you don't know the credibility of some of these people, they can say like, oh yeah, I've done this and show you work that they've quote done, but you never know if you're falling into like a scheme.
Right. And so the thing with Charlie Rathburn is he was actually renowned people, and she had previously worked with him. So that's why she kind of, from what I understand, overlooked like, hey mom, you know, and gave her the details because she'd already worked with him once before.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't even know if it was just once, but she definitely knew who he was.
Yeah.
Since the arrangement had been made outside of Linda's agency, they proved to be of a little assistance. So I'm sure he just got her contact information previously.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, like, come do this shoot with me. So realizing the urgency of this situation, Elaine filed a missing person report with the police, hoping it would set the wheels in motion to bring her daughter back safely. All that was left for Elaine to do now was wait anxiously by the phone, desperately longing for any shred of information that would lead her to Linda's whereabouts. So on a somber Monday evening, a man sat in front of his television engrossed in a news story about a young woman who had recently been reported missing over the weekend. As the report aired footage of a petite blonde, something clicked in the man's mind. He recognized her as the same girl depicted in the photographs he had come across. Realizing that he might possess information crucial to the ongoing investigation, he wasted no time. He picked up the phone and dialed the dedicated tip line, eager to share his intriguing discovery. So he had actually been like a garbage collector or something, and he saw this like photo album in a trash bin, and then he saw the photos of her. He was like, wow, she's pretty hot. So he kept them.
Ew.
Yeah, it's kind of gross, but I mean, you know. The authorities, upon receiving the man's call, were immediately intrigued. The woman in the photographs was unmistakably Linda, confirming their suspicions, period. However, their excitement was tempered by the realization that pinpointing her exact whereabouts presented a significant challenge. Linda's potential presence in the sprawling Angeles National Forest meant that the search operation would resemble finding a needle in the largest imaginable haystack. With over 700,000 acres of land to cover, the task seemed overwhelming. Amidst the challenges faced in the search for Linda, a silver lining emerged. Among the collection of photographs, investigators stumbled upon a lease agreement for a luxurious Lexus sports utility vehicle. Interestingly, the signature on the document did not belong to Linda, but rather to an individual named Charles Rathbun. The unexpected discovery marked a turning point in the investigation, as Charles would soon become a pivotal figure in the search for the missing model. In an astonishing twist of events, detectives received a call from Charles Rathbun. He was a 38-year-old photographer. Just as they were processing the valuable information regarding the Lexus lease agreement, Rathbun claimed that he had met Linda at a Denny's on the morning of her disappearance.
Not the Denny's.
I know. According to his account, their interaction was purely professional, with Linda showcasing her portfolio in hopes of securing future modeling opportunities. So he's not even being honest with them that he already knew her. Rathbun stated that they had left the restaurant simultaneously, but had gone their separate ways upon reaching their respective vehicles. He vehemently insisted that he had not seen her since then. Well, that's a lie, because that's where her car was found.
So you said it was a Lexus car, right? Mm-hmm. Did she get that as a gift for the photo shoot?
No. So they were basically like going to be doing little shoots of like her driving in it, her outside of it kind of thing. And it was going to be like in the desert area. So they had seen some of the photos.
Okay.
So when questioned about the presence of the rental agreement in Linda's possession, Rathbun explained that he had leased the vehicle for a magazine pictorial he was shooting. He surmised that Linda must have accidentally placed the contract in her modeling portfolio. However, when asked why she would have discarded it along with her important photographs, Rathbun appeared perplexed. Although his story seemed flimsy, Rathbun was released temporarily. Detectives determined to uncover the truth, tracked down the SUV, and noticed suspicious stains resembling blood on the back seat, despite the vehicle having been meticulously cleaned. Employing luminol. Would you like the definition of luminol?
No, but you can give it to some people.
Oh, okay. It's a chemical compound that reacts to blood by emitting a pale blue glow.
That's so basically you spray it in the car and it illuminates a different color, right?
Yeah, it's always blue.
It is blue, right? Like a neon blue, and it shows, okay, because, I mean, sometimes, and it can get the smallest of particles to blood.
And then, per usual, how it's always described is they discovered the upholstery lit up like a
firecracker, firework, night sky,
Christmas tree.
Oh.
Further tests confirmed the presence of human blood, as well as traces of blood and saliva on a car cover concealed in the storage compartment. Confronted with these damning findings, Rathbun changed his narrative. After reflection, he recollected that he had indeed spent additional time with Linda later that day. Realizing that the car he was photographing would appear more captivating with a beautiful woman behind the wheel, he had paged Linda and asked her to join him for an impromptu modeling session. She agreed, and they met up in Hermosa Beach shortly after leaving Denny's. Since the shoot was scheduled to take place in El Mirage, a two-hour drive away, Rathbun and
Linda... Not the Denny's before the photo shoot.
I know. What if she got tummy problems? You know,
I'd say you can have water and you can eat Denny's afterwards. We got to get that body skinny for the cover of this photo shoot.
So I think models... she could probably eat anything.
Don't eat.
That's not true.
Remember when I went to America's Next Top Model, the casting thing? And I was like, I'm hungry. What can we eat here? And the casting director goes, y'all can have water.
That's when he had dark hair.
Dark hair. Oh, God. Go ahead. I don't want to reflect on that.
The eyebrows. Since the shoot was scheduled to take place in El Mirage, a tour. Oh, I already said that. Rathbun and Linda climbed into the SUV and embarked on a journey through the Mojave Desert.
Is this what he's saying or is this what happened? Okay, he's saying.
They arrived at a dried up riverbed in the remote wilderness, the chosen location for the shoot. That did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Rathbun claimed that after setting up his equipment, he got back in the vehicle and instructed Linda to drive in circles while he captured photographs. According to him, an unforeseen patch of sand caused him to lose control of the SUV, which inadvertently struck Linda, resulting in her instantaneous death. Overwhelmed by the accident, Rathbun purportedly exited the vehicle to offer assistance, only to discover the tragic outcome.
Yeah, but she died. You can't say you had nothing to do with it and then give that story.
Right. Well, his whole thing is like, I was scared, da da da. But like, basically he was saying, like, he was trying to tell her, like demonstrating, this is what you're going to do. And I'm going to be in the middle taking pictures. But as he was demonstrating it, a piece of sand got in his way and he hit her.
He hit her. Oh,
he's saying that he accidentally hit her and she died.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Instead of seeking immediate help, Rathbun allegedly transported Linda's lifeless body to the Angeles National Forest, where he buried her in a shallow grave. Because that's where, like, the Angeles National Forest was, like, very close to where that man found the photos. Right. I know I didn't really make that clear earlier, but that guy that was collecting the trash or whatever, I think he actually worked for the National Forest.
Okay.
So that's why they were, like, looking in that area. Okay. I didn't really make that clear earlier. Sorry. So he said he buried her, whatever. Detectives found Rathbun's latest narrative difficult to believe. They had meticulously examined the Lexus and found no evidence of external damage, making it highly unlikely that it had been involved in an accident, causing fatal injuries. Pressing him to lead them to Linda's burial site, detectives encountered frustrating obstacles. Despite hours of searching every possible location based on Rathbun's claims, they failed to locate the grave. It became evident that Rathbun had led them astray, playing a deceptive game. So just to mention, like, the first time that they tried to call him in when they found the Lexus, like, rental agreement, he was like, I'm really busy. Like, I can't come right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay. And right. So when they finally, like, subpoenaed him or what do they call it? Like, when they go and they're like, yeah, you have to come in. He was, like, drunk and, like, disorderly, basically.
Yeah, because he had just killed somebody.
Well, I mean, it had been several, like, a couple days.
But yeah. Still, I mean, he's trying to drown out his worry.
Yeah. And one of her makeup artists, the Linda's, said that the media kind of just depicted her as, like, model missing, beautiful bikini model missing. Like, all the photos they showed of her were her in her swimsuits and da-da-da. When, like, the makeup artist knew her on a personal level and was like, they weren't really describing her as a human. It was just kind of like, this model was missing. Kind of like
when they do, like, I hate this word, but they'll say prostitute missing. It's like, well, she has a name.
Yeah. And she's more than just a sex worker or right. prostitute or whatever. Like, yeah. She's a, like,
human being that has right. a family.
Yeah. Like, why not a mother or a daughter?
Because,
like,
people are going to click on hot bikini model missing.
Exactly.
And be like, ooh, okay.
Well, they weren't clicking on much then because that was early 90s. I mean, they could. Oh, yeah. Still. Anyway, okay. Finally, after being sternly warned that the time for games was over, Rathbun sheepishly confessed that he knew the precise location where Linda was buried. He agreed to guide the detectives, and 8 days after Linda's brutal slaying, he led them to her remains. And they actually, this was not on foot. This was not in a car. This was in a helicopter.
That they found?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's like a desolate, you know, area. With her fate now confirmed, Rathbun was promptly arrested on suspicion of murder as the chilling truth of his heinous act came to light. Rathbun is finally arrested and put in one of the 5 cells at Hermosa Beach Police Department, which usually...
One of 5?
Yeah, because it's a small little town.
Is it just like a little holding
place? It's like a little surf town. That's what it... Like, they are usually just dealing with, like, drunk surfers or, like, high surfers, you know, like... Well, when he was there, he slit his wrists in the cell.
Oh.
Nothing super, like, nothing more than just, like, superficial cuts, but, like, okay. He was crazy.
Right.
Okay, we took, like, a short break, and Cody asked me to explain again his story on how he hit Linda. So they show up in the desert and she's dressed and he's taking some photos of her and they have the Lexus prototype SUV, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He's the main idea of the photo shoot is to take pictures of this beautiful woman
driving
with this beautiful car.
Okay.
So he gets in the SUV. This is his words. And Rathbun's like, I'm going to show you how I want you to drive.
Oh, got it.
I'm going to be like in the middle taking pictures, but I want you to basically drive in circles.
Okay.
And so what he said,
he's like, let me show you. Got it.
So what he said was like this patch of sand got in the way of the car,
mm-hmm.
obstructed his view, and he hit her.
Okay. Even if that's true, how fucking fast you would have had to been doing some, you know,
right.
It would have been a, yeah.
And so, like, not only that, when police find the car, because it was pretty easy to find the car since it had a rental agreement and all that, and that's when they found the blood, they were like, there was no evidence of this hitting a human being.
And also, the blood was inside the car. If he hit her, the blood would be on the outside of the car.
Thank you. Even though the car had been cleaned pretty well.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. The team tasked with recovering Linda's body were taken aback by the lack of expected decomposition. However, certain peculiarities caught their attention. So the reason her body was basically preserved was because A, it was cooler, and then that soil was cool that was in the ground, and it basically like preserved her body.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not the mummy.
Yeah. One striking observation was that Linda's face appeared devoid of makeup, despite her involvement in a modeling shoot.
So that makes it look like there was no shoot.
Kind of. This led investigators to suspect that she had been thoroughly cleansed before being buried.
Why?
Evidence. Like, I don't know. And then also, that to me shows this guy's done this before.
Right.
Me personally, that's what I think. Okay. During the autopsy, it was determined that Linda had been strangled by an individual who had positioned themselves on her back while exerting pressure on her neck against an immovable object, which is basically how they killed George
Strangle.
Floyd. Prior to her death, she had also been subjected to sexual assault. Like, brutal sexual assault.
Sod?
Yes. Actually, I don't know that, but I'm assuming. including
anal.
Including anal penetration, sodi, with a foreign object.
Ooh.
Yeah, which I'm like, thing. The camera? I don't know. Evidence of ligature marks on her ankles indicated that she had been bound at some point during her horrifying ordeal. Although she had sustained numerous bruises and abrasions, there were no indications of being struck by a speeding SUV. Not even, like, speeding. Like,
you would think that if that was a story, he would hit her with the car after he killed her, just to make it look like
well,
that.
Well, he just came up with that on the fly.
Okay, you're right.
Remember,
at first he said
like,
he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. That they parted ways and they're like, well, we found a car at Denny's. So.
Right, so now what, baby?
Yeah. When industry insiders who had interacted with Rathbun in a professional capacity were questioned, they described him as having a dual personality, sometimes calm and accommodating, but also prone to explosive outbursts without apparent reason, which to me is like, oh, you're catching me, so I'm just going to like be very chaotic.
Right.
Reports suggested that he had harbored a dislike for blondes and had allegedly disparaged Linda to other models, referring to her as a little bitch.
Hmm.
So, like, you know, as the investigation goes on, they're just interviewing anybody, you know, that's worked with him, that knew her, and he apparently referred to her as that.
As the little bitch.
To other models. Huh. Which is A, super unprofessional, B, just, like, fucking rude.
Yeah.
So, and incorrect. I mean, maybe she was a bitch to him, but he sounds like a fucking psycho.
Maybe she just knew her worth and she was like, look, let's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, she seemed, from all accounts, very professional.
What was her name again?
Linda Sobeck.
Okay.
Further, and it might be Sobeck, but I say Sobeck because when I was like typing it, I'd always put CK and it was just K. Further investigation into, and I already have pictures. I have good ones. Further investigation into Rathbun's background unveiled a prior arrest in Ohio on charges of raping a married co-worker who had rejected his advances. And this was like in the late 70s. During the trial, he had testified under oath that the sexual encounter had been consensual, and the jury unfortunately believed his account, resulting in acquittal. A search for Rathbun's residence yielded an alarming discovery. over 200 firearms. Among them was a 45 caliber semi-automatic pistol, which displayed what appeared to be dried blood droplets. Analysis confirmed that the biological material matched Linda Sobick's DNA, indicating that this was the weapon used to sodomize the young model.
What was it?
It was a gun. It's so gross. Despite overwhelming evidence pointing towards Rathbun's involvement in Linda's rape and murder, he adamantly refused to admit guilt. Echoing the Ohio case, he insisted that any sexual activity between him and Linda had been consensual. So he's using his story again. Furthermore, he claimed to possess photographic evidence supporting his claims. Remarkably, instead of revealing the location of his potentially explosive material to detectives, he drew a map and sent his brother to retrieve the film. So he's in court and he's like, my brother's going to go get this film that I hid of us basically having consensual sex.
Okay.
Okay, so keep that in mind. Upon locating the film as directed, Rathbun's brother deviated from expected protocol and had the pictures developed before handing them over to police. As a result, the extent of possible tampering or manipulation of the images remained uncertain, as Rathbun's brother and the opportunity to view them before anyone else, which is like, that could really fuck up the case. Upon reviewing the images provided by Rathbun, authorities quickly realized that his claims were either deceptive or delusional or possibly both. The photographs of Linda were standard modeling poses and lacked any particular provocation. However, there were a few explicit pictures of an unclothed woman reclining in a car, which were described as pornographic. Because the pictures I read about it, so on this roll film, they had Linda, which you could see her face. And it was just her in model poses. And I have some of those. She's in like this pretty white dress. And then the other photos that were in that film were of like basically this naked lady in a car, like reclining in this chair, touching herself.
And they're saying that was Linda.
That is what Rathbun and his jury are trying to say.
Okay.
Curiously, the woman's face had been deliberately cropped out of the frames. Forensic experts had enhanced the images and determined that the body depicted did not match Linda Sobick's physical characteristics. Additionally, thorough examination revealed that the interior of the vehicle and the explicit pictures was from a completely different make and model than the one Rathbun had rented for the El Mirage suit. So it wasn't even the same car.
He's just struggling.
Furthermore, Rathbun was absent in all of the images rendering his claims of consensual relations with Linda. Baseless. So, in November 1996, a year after Linda's encounter with Rathbun, he stood trial for her murder. Prosecutors presented a compelling case aimed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Rathbun was a predator who had lured Linda to the desert, anticipating a sexual encounter regardless of her willingness. Because, I mean, he had something to tie her up with, right? So they outlined how Linda and Rathbun had initially met at a trade show, a common networking platform for models and photographers. After discovering Rathbun's reputable standing in the industry, Linda exchanged business cards with him, a standard professional practice. Subsequently, Rathbun began making spontaneous calls to Linda from payphones with minimal notice. Although they were not friends, they maintained a cordial, strictly professional relationship. So just as he did not tell police in the beginning that he didn't know her, well, he was clearly
stalking
did
her.
And kind of, I mean, like he was asking her to work, but it was always like last minute. And to me, that's just like a little bit of a control thing. Like, right. Oh, she's going to come, you know, which he knew because he was such a good photographer.
Right.
So according to the state's argument, on the day of the murder, Rathbun ambushed Linda as she was changing behind the SUV's door and struck her on the back of the head with the pistol's grip. When she fell forward, he bound her ankles and used the gun barrel to commit sexual assault. The deep cuts observed around the restraints indicated her desperate struggle to escape the agonizing torment, which is horrifying. Rathbun then raped Linda before sitting on her back and strangling her until she ceased breathing. What?
What?
Why are you laughing?
I laughed because for some reason I thought you were going to say and sat on her face.
No. With his height of 6'3", so he's a whole foot taller than her, and weighing over 200 pounds, overpowering her was effortless.
And she's 5'3".
Yeah. During his defense testimony, Rathbun altered his story once again. This time he claimed that he hadn't hit Linda with the vehicle, but instead grazed her with the mirror, triggering her anger. He stated that they eventually ended up in the back seat, where he tried to restrain her by holding her tightly around the upper body. When he released his grip, he had realized she had suffocated. Which, I'm sorry, if you read anything or watch anything about strangling someone, it is not a quick and done thing. So he knew by doing that,
well,
that he
she's,
was killing her.
And when that happens, they kick, they scream, and then slowly that yeah. goes away. So you know exactly what
and
you're doing.
Knew.
And typically blood comes out of your mouth and nose when you're strangled.
Oh, I don't know. But yeah.
Also, I just looked up a picture of him. He looks like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, he kind of does.
Yeah.
I only put in one pictures of him because he's so ugly. Anyway, oh, and I did want to state too that like the prosecution against like him, they were the ones that put Charles Manson behind bars.
Oh, wow.
The same lawyers. Yeah. So when questioned further about the events leading to her death, Rathbun shifted blame entirely onto Linda. According to his recollection, she had consumed excessive alcohol throughout the day and couldn't handle it. He insinuated that had she not been heavily intoxicated, the horrific events of that day would have never occurred. Despite Linda's autopsy revealing that her blood alcohol level exceeded the legal limit, nobody knew her, like, believed she would have consumed alcohol before her important audition.
No.
So, and, like, at Denny's?
Right, turn up. They don't sell alcohol at Denny's, baby.
No, and she was considered a casual drinker, occasionally having a glass of wine with
dinner. That's fine!
Yeah, or on special occasions. So... those close to her, including the prosecutors, believed that Rathbun had coerced her at gunpoint to consume a significant amount of alcohol as his sinister plan unfolded, which is totally believable.
Yeah,
he's
that happens
like,
all the time.
Yeah, like drink this, and then I'll let you go. You right. know, like, because maybe she's thinking, oh, well, then maybe it won't hurt, or like, I
yeah,
don't remember.
Yeah, loosen you up a little bit.
Yeah. So after 5 hours of deliberation, which I also read six, but... after 5 hours of deliberation, Rathbun was found guilty of first-degree murder and rape by the jury. In December 1996, he received a life sentence without the possibility of parole, and currently he is serving his sentence at the California Institution for Men in Chino, California. While Rathbun was only convicted of one murder, he was suspected in several other disappearances across three states. Since he adamantly refuses to accept responsibility for his actions, any secrets he holds will likely remain unknown. Considering his apparent disdain for women, it is highly probable that if Linda was his first victim, she would not have been his last. Now, I do want to say, and I didn't go into this because it was already kind of long, there was a woman named Kimberly Pandolius. How would you say that?
Dolius, Pandolius?
Yeah. Her body was found after going to a photo shoot with him, and she never returned.
She never returned? So he could be linked to that one, but he's not going to say shit.
No.
At least he's behind bars.
Yeah. And then this is like just some like weird little notes I had that I didn't know how to like work in anywhere. Anyway, okay. So a bulletproof vest was made in honor of Linda Sobic, like by the police department in Hermosa Beach. There was like this holiday parade in her honor where they like showed it off.
Okay, but she wasn't shot.
It was weird, and people thought it was weird.
That is weird.
But, like, their intent was good.
Okay.
I just was like, I don't really know how to work that in there.
But it's weird that it's a bulletproof vest. She wasn't shot, you know? You
I know.
Think it, but, okay, that works.
I don't know. But it was just, like, during this time in California in the early 90s, like, this was a whole, like, OJ thing was going on. So people were very, very, like, entranced with that, and like since Hermosa Beach was like a smaller town, anywhere you would go people were like, did you know her, or like, do you know of any updates, like what's going on, like whatever. Anyway, this thing I watched with her, I watched a couple of documentaries on this, but her mother said this thing and it was like so heartbreaking, because I guess they asked her like, do you mind doing these? Because, you know, she doesn't get super upset during it. And you can tell that she's, like, comfortable talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, well, like, when it's over, I kind of go, okay, when can she come back? She wanted to be sitting here, not me. Haven't I been tortured enough? It was so sad, and it just ended like that. But my main source was, like, City Confidential, Forensic Files, an article written by Cindy Parmiter, and that article is really great. It's called The Last Shoot, The Brutal Rape and Myrtle of Myrtle of Models, Linda Sobick. But
what documentary did you watch?
I just watched, like, little ones.
Like, on YouTube?
No, I watch, like, City Confidential. I call them documentaries, but...
Oh, yeah. I like those. That's where I get a lot of my info.
Yeah. But I remember the first time I heard about this, it was a Forensic Files, you know, thing. But anyway, she... I just wanted to show you some of the pictures real quick so I can get your, like, little reaction.
Oh, no. I was looking at them the whole time. She's gorgeous. She reminds me kind of...
Me?
Yes. She reminds me of Doubtson, that Victoria's Secret model. I think her name's Doubtson Krause or Crows.
That was one of the photos. I mean, it's not a great, but, like, that was that day. You can kind of tell. But this was
the body.
Yeah, and, like, this is, like, my favorite picture of her because she just looks so just like.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
She reminds me of my cousin in that picture, actually. Of course, you don't like that one. But I chose pictures where, like, that was when she was a cheerleader, the Raiders. I think that's, like, her dance picture or something, but yeah.
Oh, see, that's the one I like. There's another one. This one right here.
Yep, I have that one.
We'll upload all of these to our Instagram at gorgeous, at Misery Manor Podcast. So if you're not following us, you need to now.
Do we have any new patties?
We do.
Try to, like, so we share an email, and I try to, like, leave those unread so I can remember to go and, like, send you guys stuff, and Cody always fucking goes in there.
Sorry. Yes, we have a new Patreon, Julia Brown, and we have another Patreon named Lawrence Scarberry. So thank you so much for being a Patreon. If you want to be a Patreon, come on and visit us. The link is in our Instagram bio at Misery Manor Podcast, or you can just type in Misery Manor Patreon, and we are there. We have exclusive episodes. We are going to be figuring out how to do Zoom episodes, and we can actually record those and have our face in it. So Emily's going to be forced to do her makeup. Actually, you don't have to. I'll do it for you.
The whole point of us doing this is when you're in Dali and I'm in here in Huey.
No, but I'm saying it's fun to do that. Like, you know, look cute, looking good. And
I used
gorgeous.
To, not mine, before I had a Subway sandwich in my stomach.
You have Subway sandwich right now?
But that's what it looks like. I have a submarine sandwich.
I thought you ate one before you got here. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple and Spotty. Bye.
Bye.